Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and good afternoon to everyone.
And we want to say hello to everybody out there in Radio Land and everybody out there on Facebook Live, our first shot for this show anyway, at broadcasting over Facebook. So I'm here in the studio. Father's in by phone in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have a couple of guests that will also call in. But a whole new experience for me after almost 10 years, I think, of doing it just over the air, now going with video. I came in and I thought Kathleen's hair and makeup folks would be here, but they're not, so I apologize for the glow on the forehead, and we'll see how this goes. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about our ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website. Or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she'll put you in touch with Father or I. A reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine, located in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from roughly 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. On Tuesdays now, they call it Matt Talbot Tuesday, and or Talbot Tuesday, where we have adoration from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock, Father Foley offers some Matt Talbot Novena prayers along with benediction. All are more than welcome to join us. When we close at 4 o'clock on Thursdays, we also pray a rosary. Again, all are more than welcome to come and join us. If you are going to come down, get in touch with me, and we'll make sure to meet you over in church and give you the guided tour, if you will. Also coming up the weekend of February 9th to the 11th, those that listen in the 5 o'clock hour on the last Monday or the last Wednesday of the month know that it's the Divine Will Wednesdays, and there will be a retreat out at Malvern. Again, that weekend is February 9th to the 11th. Father B. Thomas Celso, who's been my guest a few times now in that 5 o'clock hour, will be the retreat director. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. I also have a couple of prayer requests. One gentleman who frequents the ministry for Calyx and other things, Patrick Ireland, he was down with us this morning, and he went over to see his mom, Linda, who lives over at Holy Family Home. Paid her a visit, and when he left there, was broadsided in his car. Seems to be doing okay. He's already got a bad back, so I offhandedly suggested that maybe the jolt would fix his back. Let's hope, but we're glad that he's okay and that he recovers fully soon. He also asked for prayers for his father. The anniversary of his father's passing will take place tomorrow, January the 11th, 20 years ago. And Otter Godfather, it's also my mother's birthday tomorrow. She'd be 85 if she were still with us. So we ask for your prayers for Patrick Ireland. Also ask your prayers for Rosie Waters, a great woman that lives in the Grace Ferry neighborhood, does a lot of catering for those in the neighborhood and the ministry. And she landed in the ER last night and currently in intensive care. I think she's going to recover, but we just ask for your prayers for Rosie as well.
And speaking also, Ken, for her Aunt Betty and Uncle Larry, we're going to have the funeral service this evening. They actually both died months apart. One died in July and the other died in November, so they were 4 months apart. One was 80, that was Betty, and Larry was 88, I believe. So prayers for them as well. Chuck's brother, John.
Yeah, John
Kilgariff. So many needs, so many prayers. So whatever the needs are, we pray, Lord. Bless us all, every one of us.
All right, let's begin with prayer, and we always start with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons of this show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Most Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
One other announcement, Father, I forgot. Tomorrow is the second Thursday of the month, so we have Militia Immaculata Village that takes place out at the Malvern Retreat House. Things get underway at 7 o'clock. With adoration and the rosary, followed by mass, followed by benediction, and then mass at 8 o'clock. And all this takes place in the Carlos Acutis Center there at the retreat house, formerly was known as Lower McShane. So all are more than welcome to come out and join in prayer and mass. There is no obligation to become a Knight of the Immaculata. However, it is encouraged, and the consecration prayer is said each month to become a Knight of the Immaculata. And something needed today, I think, as much as ever. Back when St. Maximilian Kolbe formed the Knights of Immaculata in the beginning of the 20th century, following a parade he saw through Rome of Freemasons, and that was the initial cause to form the Knights, was to battle Freemasonry. And it's funny, the Freemasons have managed to keep a low profile in recent decades, and I often wonder how much of what's going on in the world today is a direct result of their activities. So come on out and pray with us, for us, and for our church. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversations. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, and we need your phone calls in order to really make that happen. We are currently in the first week of Ordinary Time. We celebrated the Feast of the Epiphany on Sunday and the Baptism of the Lord on Monday, and so re-entered Ordinary Time yesterday on the 9th. So again, on Sunday the 7th was the Epiphany of the Lord. If it hadn't been a Sunday, we'd have celebrated St. Raymond of Penafort, who was a priest. And the only other saint in the calendar this week will be on Saturday the 13th, and that's St. Hilary, who was a bishop and doctor. So we thought we would start today with St. Raymond of Penafort. And for our local folks, maybe familiar with St. Raymond's over in West Oak Lane, next parish over from my home parish of St. Luke's in Glenside. St. Raymond was born in the year 1175, not quite sure the exact day. We do know the day that he died, though, and that was January the 6th in the year 1275. And when he passed, he was in his 100th year, so he had a pretty long life. At the age of 20, he was already teaching philosophy In his 30s, he earned a doctorate in both canon and civil law, and at the age of 41, he became a Dominican priest. Pope Gregory IX would call him to Rome to work for him and also to be his confessor. And one of the things he asked him to do while in Rome was to put together a collection of the decrees of popes and councils that had been made in the 80 years since the prior collection was done by a gentleman by the name of Gratian. Raymond would compile five books called the Decretals, D-E-C-R-E-T-A-L-S, Decretals, and they were looked upon as being one of the best organized collections of church law until it was all revised in 1917 with the codification of canon law. Raymond had written for confessors a whole book of cases. It was called the Summa de Cassibus, and a long here, word here, Poenitente, and it was a list of sins and penances, but it also discussed the pertinent doctrines and laws of the church that pertain to the problem. At the age of 60, he was appointed Archbishop of Tarragona, and which was actually the capital of Aragon. Didn't like the honor, and eventually today we'll probably be talking about St. John Neumann, another one that really didn't have a desire to be a bishop. And how many saints have we talked about over the last 8 years that would get promoted to these positions and would have preferred to be left where they were, but God saw fit to promote them, and then they would do great things in those roles. He would only be the Archbishop of Tarragona for 2 years and then would resign, but he didn't get to rest very long because when he was 63, the Dominicans made him the head of the whole order, and he was the successor of St. Dominic. He would continue to work hard, and when the new constitutions were accepted by the Dominicans when Raymond was 65, again, he would resign. I mentioned before he lived to be 100, so for the next 35 years, he would continue to work to oppose heresy and work for the conversion of the Moors in Spain. And one of the other things he did was convince St. Thomas Aquinas to write his work against the Gentiles. As mentioned, in his 100th year, the Lord let Raymond retire permanently, and he would die on January the 6th, 1275, but we celebrate his feast day each year on January the 7th, St. Raymond of Pennafort.
Yeah, 100 years old. Yeah, you got it. It was a nice survey of his life there, Ken. You know, what's so impressive is, you know, you think he's going to retire there at 65, and he doesn't retire. He just rewires. He refires for the next 35 years, the last 35 years of his life. He's preaching, he's hearing confessions, he brought about many conversions, he helped the poor, and he called the poor his creditors. Think of that. The poor are my creditors. If you have two cloaks, give one to the poor. My surplus belongs to the poor. God has blessed us all to share his gifts with one another. But the poor was his creditors. His message was for the elderly, you know. He said this, that the bodies may become feeble, but our souls can get stronger despite illness. You know, it was because of illness that he was retiring, but that didn't stop him. He just kept going, proclaiming the good news of salvation. And 100 years old, but those last 35 years, it just seemed like he was going on fire. And he didn't retire, he refired. I was thinking of St. Albert the Great. It wasn't until he put down his pen that his real holiness started to really go on fire. But there's a story that really helped me out, Ken, when I was at Corpus Christi in Lansdale. Someone had bought me a watch, a stopwatch, for Christmas. And North Penn, right across from the parish church there, is where I would go, and I would run the track. And I was wondering, you know, with the 50-yard dash, how quick I could do the 50-yard dash. So I decided to time myself. And I knew the record was like 9 seconds in a 50-yard dash. And so I started it, I hit it, and when I stopped the watch after the 50 yards, it was 11.5 seconds. I thought, oh, wait, the record's 9 seconds? You know, I'm in competition here. Maybe I should go out for the Olympics. I didn't realize how long a second was in the 50-yard dash. But I was sitting there, and I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to get faster. I was 33 years old then. I said, I'm not going to get faster. If anything, I'm going to slow up physically. And I kind of got a little discouraged and depressed. But then my hopes were lifted because I thought, spiritually speaking, there's no peak. You just keep getting better and better and better spiritually. Even the body might get more feeble, sickly, but spiritually, the soul, it just matures in more beauty and beauty and beauty. And that was really uplifting to me. And I got that from Raymond of Penniford, because it was when the last 35 years of his life that he really started to grow, spiritually speaking, where he really becomes the saint that he was. So listeners out there, elderly people, you know, spiritually speaking, we're climbing Mount Zion and we're getting better and better and better and closer to God and more intimate with him. So don't let age put us down or discourage us, because the soul never grows old. It's always eternal, created with God. It doesn't have parts. It's one. You can't say that mom gave me half my soul and dad gave me the other half of my soul. No, God created my soul. There's no parts, and that we're eternal now and forever and ever and ever. So I got that delight, that spiritual delight from Raymond of Penniford, Ken. That 50-yard dash, you know, the real race is what St. Paul talked about, that race for the finish line into the kingdom of God. You know, never get discouraged, that we're always growing more deeply, spiritually speaking, closer and closer to seeing God's face. Amen.
Amen. One of the things that was mentioned was that Raymond compiled a book of sins and penances. Just curious, when you were in the seminary, was there such a book, and did you have a cheat sheet in the confessional when you first got started?
Yeah, no, I do remember the canon law, because we had a course in canon law, and that, you know, we were going through some of his writings. But don't ask me what they were; it was so long ago, Ken.
We
moral theology and all, and courses on penance, and the professors really helped us, you know, about when we're in the confessional and how, and to realize that it's a seat of mercy, it's not a judgment seat. And one of the things that always helped me, that you bring this up, was Monsignor Meehan, and he was a moral theologian. And I always think of this, you know, when I'm in the confessional. He said, you know, about mortal sin, the three things that are necessary to commit a mortal sin, serious matter, full consent of the will, and sufficient reflection. But he says, when the penitents come in, no, there are five mitigating factors. And those five are ignorance, fear, force, habit, and passion. And so we're always sinned against. And by having this understanding as a confessor, you can have the greatest compassion on the penitents, because we have all been sinned against. We are all in need of God's mercy and love. And that's where we get that the most, right there in the sacrament of reconciliation, where God reconciles us, takes our sins, our guilt, our shame, and pours out on us new grace, abundant life, an increase of grace to help us to continue up that Mount Zion, coming home to God, Ken.
Yeah. And, you know, the sacrament of confession is, you know, I think one of the church's greatest gifts. For those of us that are in 12-step programs, we should be making use of that sacrament of confession often. You know, we do steps 4 and 5 and 8 and 9, where we, you know, make a list of all the things, the resentments, fears, and harms that we've done to others. And when we have that list, especially if you've not been to the sacrament in quite a while, it gives you a great list to start with in order to make a confession. Most priests these days are familiar with the 12-step program and understand what you're doing. And even if you don't do your fifth step with a priest, you can use that list as the beginnings of a really good confession. And like I said, especially if you've not been there in a while. And then once we get there, you know, frequent confession has been, you know, such a gift to me. You know, having known Father McKay now for going on 14 years, 15 years, it'll be in February. And and then cheating on him once in a while and running with some other priests. Yeah, just to get a, you know, a second opinion, if you will. And that's why, you know, you wonder if there's a cheat sheet, because I don't think I've ever gotten the same penance twice from two different people. So I know it's pretty much a free reign for all our priests. But even, you know, the circumstances being what they were over the past week, having gone to confession on Saturday to your good friend, Father Pete Welsh, offered Mass for us at Sacred Heart Church in South Philly for the first Saturday group. And, you know, something, you know, happened on Sunday that just didn't sit right with me. And being able to go to confession again, you know, 4 days later is such a gift. And I, you know, sometimes would kick myself for going so long without going at all. And then, you know, then after I made my first retreat, it was like an annual confession, and then realizing what a gift it is. And I bring that up because, you know, the Blessed Mother had an apparition around New Year's Day in Medjugorje, and of course the other apparitions that she's made over the, you know, the last 150 years or so, and they're all basically the same, you know, come to her son, go to Mass, and go to confession. And the idea of frequent confession is, like I say, it's such a gift. And the people that I know that make use of that, and there's many of them now, a lot of them in my circle that make frequent confession, you know, to a person, they talk about, you know, what a gift it is to be able to go and receive that grace. And, you know, to receive it, whether it's once a week or once a month, in between, if you absolutely need it, but to experience Jesus Christ in that sacrament and to receive the grace of confession, there's not many things that are greater than that. You know, the Eucharist certainly, but you know, what a gift our priests are. And, you know, to that end, we need to pray for vocations. I know many of you already do, but you know, hanging out with Father McKay, and you know, he's still has Our House Ministries, where he's the chaplain, you know, founder and chaplain, and now the director of Malvern Retreat House. So kind of splitting his time about 50-50 between the two. And, you know, our priests are just being stretched, and, you know, they love to hear confessions, and they want to offer Mass, but the other things that they're being asked to do, whether it's to give retreats or talks or other things, the demands on them are starting to get intense, and we definitely need more priests. The rebirth of the permanent diaconate, I guess it's been going on for about 20 or 25 years now, has been a huge gift to the church, and they're able to take off some of the workload from our priests, but there's still plenty of work to be done. You know, the work is great, and the number of people are few, so continue to pray for vocations, and to pray for those priests that are still in active ministry, because they can usually use all the prayers and grace that they can get.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ken. I was thinking that you might have cheated on me with Father Welsh, but you didn't cheat on Jesus.
Amen.
You know, because that's who we come to in the confessional. You know, the priest is a screen. It's a personal encounter with Jesus. And I always think that when that hand goes up for that absolution, it's Jesus' hand. Our hands are anointed. And it's like his hand coming off the crucifix and embracing the penitent and drawing that penitent, like through the Immaculata there at Calvary, right through her Immaculate Heart and right into his Sacred Heart, to the bosom of the Father by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I often think of something that Jesus said to St. Faustina. Jesus said, tell the confessor, the priest, to tell the penitent, the sinner there, to thank them for coming to confession, that he wants us to come to confession because it's an intimate encounter. He wants to be in communion with us. I mean, he came really to make our hearts one with his, to transform us into divinity, to become God by participation. So confession is such a, like you said, such a beautiful sacrament. And you made me think back in my Corpus Christi days when we had to do, you know, the house visitation. And I came to this one door And I knocked on the door, and the man came to the screen, and he didn't seem too happy. I said, "I'm Father McKay." "Yeah, what do you want?" I said, "Well, we're updating our records." He said, "Yeah, what do you want to know?" I said, "I just want to know how you were doing." So finally, you break them down, and finally he said, "Well, why don't you come in for a few minutes?" And I came in. I think I spent a couple hours with him. And what it was, he had a bad experience in the confessional. And I used the things like I just said here about the priest is a screen. It's not a judgment seat. It's a mercy seat. And that we bring our sins to him. And I said, if you had a box of jewels and you took, and there was a stone in there, well, you're not going to throw the whole box of jewels away. Take the stone out. Keep the jewels. And that seemed to really impress him. And he went to confession. And that next morning, he showed up for daily mass and became a daily communicant. And not only a daily communicant, but he would be regular to confession. And not even that, we would go out to breakfast after the mass, and he was a psychologist. And he started now helping me in my struggles, in my difficulties of priesthood. And I never forgot that one encounter, and how important that confession was. So really, we receive grace, an abundance of grace. A lot of times at Malvern, Ken, it's always guys that 1 year, they have been there a year. And you hear so often, it's been a year since the last time I was on retreat. And I said, "Look, you didn't do anything wrong. But if somebody offered you $1 million, you don't have to take that $1 million. But you'd be so much richer if you did. And how much richer we would be if we just receive these sacraments as often as we can. Because they're floodgates of grace and personal encounters with Jesus Christ. And it doesn't get any better than that. So I thank God for the sacraments. And two sacraments we can receive again and again. Reconciliation, confession, and Holy Communion. And confession is the best preparation we make for a fruitful Holy Communion.
Amen. And, I always go back to the interview I had with Father Tom Morrow. It was probably about a year ago. And he wrote the book about, I think it was called Straight to Heaven. And he talked about being able to get plenary indulgences on a daily basis. And one of the requirements for that is confession within 21 days. So another reason for frequent confession. And then it has the normal things attached to an indulgence, confession within 21 days. I receive Holy Communion, no attachment to sin, and to pray for the Pope's intentions. And then the other four things that you have to do, one of the other four, read Holy Scripture for 30 minutes, pray the Stations of the Cross, pray the Rosary with a group where the mysteries are announced, and make a Holy Hour. So that's how important a confession is, that if you have that within 21 days before or after the rest of the activities, you can gain that plenary indulgence. We're just about just about at the bottom of the hour. I want to give out the phone numbers again, and especially want your calls if you've had an odd or God, if God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks. We haven't been on since before Christmas. I was hoping to be back last week, but had car trouble. This is our first live show since Christmas. So if God's touched you in a particular way, especially over the holidays maybe, that you want to share with our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Did you have a word, Father? We got about 40 seconds before we actually hit the bottom of the hour.
We can go. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll bring it back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Patrick's all set, so we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love. And for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I want to give you a quick update on the website here. I try to update the recordings of the shows on by the Thursday after we're here on Wednesday. I get the recordings of the previous shows and we upload them to inhissign.com. If you go to the content page and click on podcasts, you can get those recordings. Also, like to keep you updated on what's going on with the Catholic Society. That's how I met Father McKay almost 15 years ago now. And we get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We begin at 6 p.m. with a short adoration period followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting afterwards. On the third Tuesday of each month, we have our Matt Talbot evening, and it's over in St. Gabriel's Church. That will happen next Tuesday, the third Tuesday of the month, January the 16th. Again, we'll be in St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a holy hour that begins at 6 o'clock. Father McKay, Father Shea is usually on hand from the Basilica Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Germantown. He's been a regular at our Calyx meetings now for going on a year, I think, and he'll be on hand as well to hear confessions during that hour. We wrap up that hour with Matt Talbot prayers and benediction, and then at 7 o'clock we have Mass. The evening is dedicated to all those that are in recovery, those that are still in active addiction, and all the family members. So everybody's more than welcome to come and join us on those third Tuesdays. I don't know anybody today that doesn't know someone or some family that's experienced addiction and the havoc that it wreaks on our families. So if you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome. Again, that'll be next Tuesday, January the 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. in St. Gabriel's Church. Our Calyx Unit at the Queen of Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of each month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on January the 18th, that'll be next Thursday. The unit at my home parish of St. Luke's in Glenside gets together on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for an 8:30 a.m. Mass and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. This month, the meeting will be on January the 20th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, I believe they're still going to meet on the last Saturday this month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass followed by a meeting. That date would be January the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets every Wednesday evening at St. Matthew's. They begin with Mass at 6:15 with a Calyx meeting that follows. I'm going to be joined by telephone by two different guests in the 5 o'clock hour today. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, who wrote a book entitled 30 Marian Eucharistic Visits, will be with me at 5 o'clock. And then Aaron Sang, who helped with the English translation of the book Credo, Compendium of the Catholic Faith that was written by Bishop Athanasius Schneider will be joining me at 5:30. Again, that's this evening. So, I would say we're going to go to the phones, Father, but I have a feeling that maybe Facebook has turned some people off and are afraid to come on over not just the telephone, but over the and airwaves, but through Facebook Live. Again, a little bit different today. First time we're doing it with our Wednesday shows, so I want to welcome all those that are viewing. It's good to be with you. But
we'll be the first.
There you go. There you go.
We give a prize.
Yeah, we always have prizes. We can give a free copy of Heaven's Homecoming, a great
there
book that Father wrote about the dying process and that which he got to witness of many of the residents at Holy Family Home, and wrote the book years ago, but has a new cover as of this year, or last year I should say, 2023, where we put the cover with the last breaths, the painting that was done for us by Rebecca Giles. So it looks like we may generate a one phone call anyway, but we'll do it for anybody that calls in the 5:30 hour, or the 4:30 rather, and you call in and come on with an odd or God or any story, and we'll send you a copy of Heaven's Homecoming. In the meantime, we mentioned at the top of the hour, Father, that Patrick Ireland had asked for prayers for the 20th anniversary of his father's passing, which is tomorrow. And I think I already mentioned odd or God. It would also be my my mother's birthday tomorrow. She passed away 16 months ago, and miss her. And the second Christmas without her was different. We started a new family tradition, although I couldn't take part with my siblings, of giving away, we called them super dupers, these goofy presents that my mother would buy from the catalogs that came in the mail. And sometimes I think she thought they were the greatest gifts in the world. And some of them were pretty cool, but for the most part, we got a pretty good laugh out of it. So I've talked long enough to get D on the line. So we're going to go to D. Hello, D. D, are you there?
Today.
Hey, D.
Yes.
You're on the air with Canon Father McKay.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you today?
Very good.
Good.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Thank you for what you had said. You know, I thought a lot about confession, and, you know, it's something just that I haven't personally done myself. You know, I always took it between me and God when I don't think of that experience in between, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess it is profound and important, you know. And, you know, just something that came up for me was, like, you know, I lost my mother through the holidays, and, you know, she was unresponsive for, like, almost a week. And it was such a God moment. Like, I still, there's five siblings that she, you know, children that she had, and we all talk about it. And, you know, she was unresponsive as she was passing, and it was taking quite a while. And my brother had a priest come in and anoint her. And that's a sacrament, right? Is that,
yep.
Is that like a... I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah. No, it's a sacrament, whether it's the sacrament of the sick or extreme unction.
Yeah, like a confession.
Yeah.
She wasn't able to speak, so, like, we just had her anoint it, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, just for the, you know, the last rites or whatever. So my brother had the priest come around, and it was funny because he lost his slip, and he couldn't make it the one day, and it was, like, not meant to be that day. He was an older priest, and he was trying his best, and he didn't make it. But when he did come, you know, my mother didn't respond to anything. And when he anointed her, she literally sat up and said, "Amen, please, amen." Like, she was so ready to go that just confirmed, like, for us, like, it just was like, it gives me God bumps all over, like. And then again, went, they were her last words that she said. Like, after 6 days of not speaking, for her to sit up and say something like that, and just go back down, and that's the way she passed. you know, days later after that was the last thing that was said. And you know, like you said, the faith in the older, like my, I always remember my grandmother keeping such a strong faith, and that's what got brought on to me. And I still hold her prayer card and say them until this day. And yeah, it just brought up so much. It's such a beautiful thing too, you know, and was confirmed that for us that, you know, she's going into God's kingdom with God. And, you know, that's such a hard time to let her go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think I called you and talked to you, Father Doug, when, through that, you know, and you helped me through that. I appreciate that. But, thank you, guys.
Nah, thank you, Dee. And Father McKay will chime in a second, but I had a similar experience with my mother. She died in September 2 years ago. And the same kind of situation where she was unresponsive. And when Father McKay started to pray over her, her eyes opened, and my brother and sister were there, and they got a like a mini catechism given to them as Father explained, you know, what was going on. And it's still, my sister will smile when she says that it haunts her to see, because Jesus, or Father explained the Jesus suffering eyes that he saw in my mother at that time. And yeah, but she opened her eyes and, you know, seemed to be at least aware of what was going on.
But, at that present moment.
Like, yeah,
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, my sister still calls Father McKay the closer. Father?
Yeah, closer. Yeah, I'm not sure which D this is. You say, you know me, D?
D.
Jakubowski, Father.
Oh, yeah. Oh, got you now, D. You know, a couple of D's. Yeah, I do remember, you know, the prayers. In fact, I was at Malvern praying for your mom in front of the grotto, or Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
And you know what, Dee? You know, listening to your story, where the priest comes and she sits up and she says, amen, amen. You know, that hour of death, we really are present at Calvary. The sacraments, you know, the anointing and all, baptism, we're grafted to the cross. And it's almost like, here's Jesus saving your mother. And, you know, into your hands, Father, I commend your mom. And all of a sudden, it's like she sits up and says, amen, yes, yes.
Please,
you know, that somehow you were in that hour with her when God came to take her home. But, yeah, I do remember that day just praying at the grotto there at Malvern for your mom, Dee. And home for Christmas. Your mom's home for Christmas, and praying for not only you, but for all of us. So thanks for calling in, Dee. You're the first one.
Thank you guys for doing it.
Take the courage, the holy boldness. We're, what do you call it, Facebook now, Ken?
Yeah, Facebook Live we're on. But Dee, do you have a copy of Father's Heaven's Homecoming?
I don't.
Okay. Make sure you stay on. If Maureen didn't get your address, we'll get it. And we'll get a copy off in the mail to you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And get the confession.
Okay, I will do that. I
got to
follow up with that now.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell your husband hello. God bless you guys.
Bless you too, Father. Thanks.
All right. All right.
Very good.
Yeah.
We got our first caller.
There you go. First caller of 2024. I'll give out the numbers again. 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. You got an Otter Godfather?
You know, Ken, I was thinking of that, and there's just so many Otter Gods. He's always revealing himself, showing himself, touching my heart, even at the most difficult times. I was saying, like even this morning, sharing with our group, before our prayer group, that I was reading that Jesus calling, and it was about, you know, Jesus, I trust in your friendship, you know, and how much we are friends. And because we're friends, he's always there at my side, taking care of me every step of every way, every breath of the way. And even in the difficult times when, you know, you say you're stretched out, the stresses are up, the pressures are on, you know, faith rides us through it all, you know. And that's the honor of God, the fact that we keep getting through these storms of life. That it's the Lord's, you know, would stand up like he stood up in the boat when they woke him up and just said to the storm outside us, be calm. But we all go through these storms inside us. And he's always saying, be calm. And we get through the storms. And our faith is a constant. It just rides us through. So I guess that would be my honor of God, that he's always there. You know, every time I have a heartbeat, every time I have a breath or a thought or a pious thought, it's the Lord revealing himself. It's an epiphany, a manifestation of his presence, of his mercy, his love, of his friendship.
Amen. Well, we didn't do anything,
you know,
to...
And the other thing I was thinking of when you were saying about your mom on Christmas, I just remember all the fond memories there with my mother and your mother coming to family home on Christmas Eve, you know, and the little get-togethers afterwards on Christmas Eve. Always kind of enjoyed that. They kind of always stuck out in my mind. But, yeah, your mom, you know, you said 16 months, right? And
yeah.
And that was your second Christmas without her.
Yeah.
Wow, you know, time really flies by.
It does.
I was thinking of Dee, and I hope she's still listening. And I'd just like to read this poem, Ken. You know, My First Christmas in Heaven. Let me just read that, because it just brings a lot of, encouragement, consolation to the hearts of those who are bereaving their parents for the first time this Christmas. So it's a letter from the loved one, from their place in heaven. My first Christmas in heaven. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away the tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs and people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it's beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart. But I'm not far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear loved ones. You know I hold you dear. And be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I send you each a memory of undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always most important in the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other, as my Father said to do, for I can't count the blessings of love he has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. Christmas, Ken. Every day is Christmas. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We did get a couple of callers. We're going to go first to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken, Father Doug. Hearing Father Doug, this is Frank. I'm not Edgar Allan Poe, okay? So give me a break here, okay? it's not a buzzer beater, but I forgot it was 4 o'clock, and I was talking to Captain Lou a couple minutes ago, and he reminded me. So I forgot again. I remember this morning I was going to call Captain Lewis. No, it's too early. I'll call this afternoon, and I forgot about it. I just want to say hi and Happy New Year to everyone, and I'll try my best to remember next Wednesday at 5:04.
Very good. Happy New Year, Frank. Good
to
hear you, brother.
Okay?
Yeah, you too.
Hey, Frank. Okay. Happy New You.
Hey, Father Doug. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Father Doug.
If I was any better, I'd be doing as good as you, Frank.
Don't say I'm doing bad. I may sound okay or maybe not, but I got a cast in my leg now, trying to close that ulcer up. It's been open for several months, so we'll see if that works or not. But Father Doug and Ken, you met him about a year and a half ago. John, he went to the Calic, I think twice. He's doing good, sober wise. So just keep in your mind. That's all.
All right, we'll do, Frank.
Thanks, Ken.
John, I said hi. We miss him, you know.
What's that?
I was just thinking of John a few days ago, and I kind of miss him, seeing him. So if you hear from him, tell him I said hello, and he's in my prayers.
Yeah, well, He doesn't return phone calls too good. He's going to meetings. He goes to life or death. I'm trying to get him to speak for 90, but he's kind of shy. I told him how important it is to speak for 90, but he says he's going to do it, so we'll see. That's all.
All right. Yeah. All right, Frank.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too, pal.
Bye-bye.
Be good.
Thank you, Frank. God bless you.
All right, and we got another call on the line. We're going to go to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Ken, it's Dennis. Hey, Father, how are you?
This is Dennis from Bristol Way, Yardley.
Yep.
Good to hear you. How are you?
Good. I haven't got down to Grace Ferry a couple of weeks, guess with the holidays, but I'll get back down. And Ken, did I hear you say that the Levittown meeting is going to meet next Thursday?
And I'm sorry. I meant to get back to you. I did finally got a hold of Tom late last week, and they are meeting.
Good. I'm going to try to get up there. Great.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a couple of homecoming stories that hour at death you were talking about, or hour of graduation, as Father says. I wanted to share with my grandmother many years ago. She had what they called Lewy bodies dementia. It's a type of Alzheimer's. And, we were waiting for her hour a good day or maybe even more, and we knew it was coming close to time. And she had been nonverbal most of that day and the day prior, and maybe some low groans and moans. And just prior to her, I'll say her last breath, she had a moment of clarity and said to me, "Take care of your mother," meaning my mom, which was her daughter. And I still think about it all the time to this day, and especially hearing some of the other stories about that hour of homecoming. So I'm still touched by it, just talking about it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then another opportunity and great pleasure I had was with my stepfather. He passed away several years ago as well, and he was actually receiving his last rites by Father Ronald Ferrier. I don't know if Father McKay, you know Ron Ferrier. He's graduated as well. But he was at my parents' home with a seminarian, actually. I had called him and asked him to come up, and he did. And he attempted to receive the whole Eucharist and couldn't because he couldn't breathe and couldn't swallow, but we put it on his mouth. And at the end of the last rites, we were saying the Our Father, and he actually took his last breath during the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. So the two pleasures that I had to be with someone at that moment. So I just wanted to share that. I think about it a lot.
Beautiful, Dennis. Thy kingdom come, the Our Father. My father died during the Hail Holy Queen, and it was a very powerful experience.
Yes.
He had the Blessed Sacrament on him, and we're praying the rosary, and he's on the ventilator, and they take off the ventilator. The numbers begin to drop, and right at the end of the rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, at the words, "After this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus." And it was beep, and that hit me so deeply that after our exile, the Blessed Mother is going to show us the blessed fruit of our womb, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the new Adam and the new Eve. And I could never pray the Hail Holy Queen without thinking of those beautiful words and all of our Hail Marys that we pray in a lifetime, all the loved ones at that hour of death, they're fulfilled. She's right there, and so is he. And we won't be alone because, you know, God the Father sent his Son as the first apostle on a mission to forgive our sins, to remove our shame and guilt, destroy death itself, and bring us home to eternal life, to heaven. And, you know, after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And now at the hour of death, amen. And thy kingdom come, now on earth, forever in heaven. Thank you, Dennis.
Sure, yeah. I can't wait for my next opportunity to be there with someone. Not that I wish it on anyone, but if I'm so lucky to have that experience again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dennis. Look forward to seeing you again, pal. Happy New Year.
Yep, you do the same. Yep, Happy New Year.
You know, Ken, I was just thinking when he said it was Dennis, it reminded me of Richie. You know, I thought it might have been Dennis, Richie's brother, Romolini, calling in. And Richie, who lived with us, had just passed away last Thursday, a week ago. And Richie lived with us. And he did struggle so much mentally, you know, a person in recovery. But he always came up to Holy Communion, and everybody would hear him. It was never amen when he received communion. It was always gratitude. He would always say, "Thank you, Father," you know.
Yeah.
And just prayers for Richie as he enters home into eternal life, his eternal birthday. Out of his anguish, his suffering, his pain, and home with his parents and his loved ones, and also prayers for Dennis and all the loved ones here on earth. Eternal rest grant to Richie, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him, and may he and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God. Rest in peace.
Amen. And, yeah, I remember Richie, and every once in a while, you know, he'd get word that somebody had bumped into him, whether it was on the subway or up in Center City, or, you know, he was still getting around. And, you know, the anger that he would display once in a while, you know, it would seem to come out of nowhere. And then the next minute he was like a gentle baby. And,
yep.
You know, just, deep down a good guy. And, you know, hopefully the anger's gone and he's in the peace of Christ today. So we put our prayers out for Richie and Dennis and all the Romolini family.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if we're going to get to St. John Newman. We got about 3.5 minutes left, Father. If that.
Yeah.
But
well,
we did
maybe
so.
We'll stay on that hour.
Yeah. Just put it out there, only because he's a local guy. You know, St. John Newman, whose feast we celebrated last week, interred here at St. Peter's in Philadelphia. And the reason I at least want to get it in is, you know, I got a son that's teaching in a parochial school now. My wife worked in the schools for a while. And, you know, just the need we have for parochial schools, and to continue to pray for them and their survival and increases in enrollment and you know, it really is a vocation to teach in those schools. We were talking about it earlier with Pat Ireland about, you know, it's difficult for somebody to have a family and teach in a Catholic school. And, you know, that's not exactly, I guess, what those jobs were defined for. So it truly is a vocation. But remember St. John Newman and pray through his intercession for the for our parochial schools, that they continue to be open, and that vocations are drawn in order to provide the teachers that we need. Said,
St. John Newman.
Yeah.
Always a reminder of his prayer that he prayed every morning, Ken, and I pray, especially when I know it's going to be difficult days, you know, that prayer. Lord, help me to remember that nothing will happen today that you and I cannot handle. It reminds me of the AA, you know, I can't do it. He can't do it. We can do it. You know, it used to be, I can't do it. He can do it. I'll let him do it. But it was Bishop McFadden that corrected me, and he made it that he can't do it. I can't do it. He can't do it. We together can do it, that it's a partnership, like John Newman's prayer. Lord, help me to remember that nothing will happen today that you and I, Lord Jesus, cannot handle. That's one of the prayers that I think is very powerful. I often pray, Ken.
Very good. All right, that brings us up to our blessing. So we get your blessing, Father.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mm-hmm. Lord, as we begin our new year, may it be a new year of increase of graces, that fear will diminish, goodness will increase, love for one another would be more evident, that we may show and see this love. Lord, that you may be more revealing now and forever to each and every one of us. And so bless us, all of our listeners, all those who are sick and all those who are suffering, all those who have just passed away and are home with you. Let us all know that we are in transit, coming home, Jesus, to be with our Father. Your mission, with your arms outspread on that cross and in the crib, was, I come to take you home. Lord, let us know that we're on our way home to be with all our loved ones and with you, our God, who created us for yourself. And so the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father.
Peace.
And our guest for the 5 o'clock segment is already on the line, so we're going to take a short break, And we'll be going with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle when we come back.